Good morning. Okay, so here's my first disclaimer, and I'll give you the second one later. I've had some hot chocolate, so if I talk a little fast, I'm sorry. Because I'm from the South, and we talk very fast, so it's just going to be worse now because I've had hot chocolate. So, my name's Nicolette Warren. As Sean has indicated, I'm the Director of Health Equity at the Society for Public Health Education, also known as SOFE. Have you heard of us? Great. Oftentimes when you think of SOFE, you think of professional development, right? Continuing education. Okay, well today I'm going to tell you about a special pilot project that we did that really worked with our affiliate chapters to look at how do we get people to revisit how they see SOFE, not just for professional development and continuing education, but actually a community partner. So we partner with our affiliate chapters and we established community-based participatory approach in some of the work that we've done related to diabetes disparities. Okay, so here's my disclaimer, my second disclaimer. That is, this is solely my ideas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm the sole author responsible for this content, and it's not a representation of CDC. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out the way, let's get down to business. When you talk about collaborative partnerships, one of the things that we looked at through Reach MNO is really looking at how do we function as a national organization and look at our local entities, our local chapters. And so what we wanted to focus on is how do you build this collaborative partnership between a national organization and their local partners to disseminate evidence-based programs. So as you can see here, here's our local chapters. We have 20 local chapters, and we wanted to get our chapters involved in community-based work. So what we decided to do is we established an advisory committee with 10 leading health experts, some from academia, some are consultants, some are from centers, some are from tribal organizations. And what we wanted to do is to look at how do we build a sustainable solutions for health equity in using our SOFE chapters. So we aim to establish a collaborative coordination, if you want to call it that, to reduce health equity among these local communities, but also promote health equity among our target groups. So our purpose was really to look at how do you get our chapters to work with community groups, because if we're only known for professional development and continuing education, we were probably not the first place people would come. They come after they've done their project, and they says, we want to present at your conference. That's traditionally how it's been. So what we wanted to look at is how do we make this where it's focused on dissemination, so best practices, looking at evidence base, but also look at how do you build the capacity of the chapter and our communities to do this work. So we focused on leadership development. Leadership development in the sense of looking at how do we reduce diabetes disparities, but also look at the associated risk factors with that among our African Americans and American Indians, Alaskan Natives populations. So one of the things that we wanted to do is look at empowering our SOFE chapters as well as the community to address these diabetes and those risk factors. Okay. So I told you the ideal was to facilitate community action. You got that, right? So the question becomes, how do you do that? Because when you start talking about evidence base and best practices and you're talking about community groups, they're like, what? You know, speak English, plain English. So one of the things that we wanted to do is really look at the social determinants of health and those factors and how you can address or develop interventions that will really look at building a community collaborative partnership that can be sustained, but also influence health. So what we have here is these are the areas that we focus on. A lot of our effort was around all of these areas, but I'm going to focus mostly on the collaborative partnership because I think it can provide great insight into the work that you all are doing. Okay, so let's talk about our collaborative partnerships. Now here is a short list of some of our partners that we had on the national level as well as on the local level. So one of the things that we did when we said you want to address diabetes disparities, well, where do you start? who is the leaders in diabetes? When you think of diabetes, you think of the American Diabetes Association, of course. Right. Well, that might not be the only organization you think of. So what we decided to do is we approached the American Diabetes Association, and we said health educators need to be a part of these diabetes teams and be a part of these diabetes self-management opportunities. And we think that you should include health educators in when you revise your national standards for diabetes self-management education and support. That was our thought. We also contacted the National Certification Board for Diabetes Educators, and we said the same thing. There are certified diabetes educators, and we feel that health educators need to be a part of this process. They need to be eligible to sit for the CDE exam. So we developed a diabetes crosswalk to look at the 7 areas of competencies for health educators and what their standards were for the National Standards for Diabetes Self-Management Education, as well as the standards for becoming the CDE. And what we did is we built a case to say health educators need to be included because they have the skill set, they're competent, and they can do this work. Well, guess what happened? Well, they said yes. So now, health educators are included as recognized to be a part of the diabetes team in the National Standards for Diabetes Self-Management Education, as well as starting in 2014, those who have the MCHES, a Master's Certified Health Education Specialist, they will be eligible to sit for the CDE starting in 2014. So that's one example of a collaborative partnership on a national level. I'll talk about the community partnerships later on the local level. Okay, so building this capacity, a lot of the things that we did in order to build the capacity of our community groups is to do a lot of face-to-face, monthly conference calls, monthly discussions about what did they need, how did they need it, and what could we do, what resources could we provide to them. And this is just brief examples of some of the things that we did. We developed a media advocacy training. We did that at our annual meetings. We also did a ton of webinars and a lot of one-on-one, you know, okay, this is not our regular scheduled monthly call, but call me, email me, I'll be there to help you. We involve students, give them real-life experience about real-life projects. Okay, so one of the key things that we did is we really wanted to make sure that the work that we did was evidence-based. So one of the key models that we used was called access-based community development. And what that means is called ABCD. Have anybody heard of it? Great. One person. Hopefully after today, 2 people. You will all consider this model because basically 3 people. Great. We're making progress. So what we did is you say you're working in the community. What are the assets that are already there? Build from what's already there, and you get them involved in utilizing their own local assets versus having to bring people in who may be experts in that field, but you're not, that's not sustainable because once they're gone, what will happen? So that's one model that we use. Obviously, we use the socioeconomical model in regards to looking at not just the individual persons, the communities, their churches, their civic groups, the local government, how can they all play a role in the work that we're doing. And then the last major model that we use is diffusion of innovation, which we really talked about. It goes beyond just the dissemination of information, but really about how do you integrate this information in to promote health. So those are 3 key things that we did to identify evidence-based best practices. And a lot more, but I don't have enough time to talk about those. Obviously, we wanted to evaluate our work, and one of the things with this is oftentimes when you think about evaluation, you think about a report, and whoever the funding organization is the group who does all the reporting. Well, our requirement was that all players had to be a part of the reporting process, which meant we use our annual end-of-the-year report was based on assets-based community development, which means you got to ask some questions. And the funding organization couldn't be the only person answering those questions because it's a collaborative effort, right? So a lot of what we did was in the monthly reports, we wanted the community partner to be a part of that. Well, how you get the other community partners to be invested? We gave 50% of our money from the chapters to their community partners, so they had an equal investment in the work that we were doing. So it becomes, we're getting the money, you're getting the money, and in some cases, the community got more money than our SOFI chapters to do this work because we wanted them to be invested, engaged, and feel a sense of ownership to what they're doing. Okay. Now, The other thing that we did to, when we looked at dissemination is, you know, there are some obvious things that we can do. We have our core center, the Center for Online Resources and Education. We have a knowledge center. And, of course, we have the Health Equity Project where we go out to different organizations and talk about the work that we're doing. But I think the things when you talk about local level is the local churches, their local newspaper, their local radio stations, all of those local things, oftentimes, sometimes by word of mouth, are the things that we use, utilize what was local, and then we looked at the national level. And we developed a lot of tools to help our chapters and their partners do this work. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about our community, our two funded chapters and their community partners. We funded the Georgia SOFI chapter and the Northern California SOFI chapter. And Georgia SOFI was working with rural African Americans in Southeast Georgia, and the Northern California SOFI chapter was working with the Inner Tribal Friendship House in Oakland, California, which we call our urban community. So part of what they did is really looked at how do you bring all of these partners together to do this work. And this is a website where you get a lot more details about those two funded chapters and their partners. But what I want to tell you about is with our Northern California SOFI chapter, what they did is initially in the first year, because this was a five-year project, what they did is they partnered with Saver Foundation. That was their entryway gate organization to connect them to the Intertribal Friendship House. Now in our fifth year, they don't need Saver Foundation anymore, not that they're not still involved, but they now work directly with the Native American community there. And these are just examples of the work that they've done. Okay, our Georgia SOFI chapter, they really focus on coalition development. I have some handouts that kind of talks about the steps of coalition development. And also what they wanted to do is there's a Jenkins County Diabetes Coalition, and they really build that coalition's capacity to do this work that can be sustained beyond this initial funding. And there's a lot of stuff that they did as far as working with local, the grocery store, which by default, it's the only grocery store, but it doesn't matter. They wanted to be a part, and so everybody, the Chamber of Commerce, everybody's a part, county commissioners, all of them are collectively involved. And now what they do is they have their own individual organizations that these members are a part of, and they're incorporating health into the work that they're doing. It has nothing to do with health, like the book club. So it can be done, and I can tell you more about that later. This is just some examples of some of the work that they've done with the two funded chapters. This here is just an overview of our reach and the different things that we've done in our reach approach to disseminate and diffuse information. Some key lessons learned is really thinking about when you have to have the right person in these positions, because that's going to make or break the success of the project. The other part is you've got to build trust and respect among the collaborative partnerships in order to do this work. And many other things, but you need to be clear about what that framework of work that you want to do. When you look at project evaluation, as I mentioned, you have to have all players involved, but most importantly, you need to be clear about what the expectations are and how can that be sustained beyond the initial funding. And last but not least, we looked at chapter capacity. How do you retain the leaderships that are in, who are in, currently involved, to avoid burnout? And that's really critical when you're thinking about sustaining efforts and sustaining the capacity that has already been built. So you really need to be thinking about that in the beginning, because that's going to dictate how things are done and who else you might need to get involved in your work. This is my contact information. I encourage you to contact me. Go to our website and get a lot more details than I've been able to share today. Thank you.